got this man's mood in shadow. Have societal morals plummeted of late? Or have they reached their all-time high? So, he sneaks up the back stairs, led by the hand, red-faced and puffy, pudgy, pale. Sweat glistens and streams and drips from his frame across the bread. Their business behind the darkness of blinds nobody shall know. What he asks of his concubine is hailed yet shunned and only ever spoke of in lusty, whispered voices.
Second on the list is a rather wonderfully titled Clift Wedgbury.
As a poem from my teenage years. I once lived in Plumstead, end of terrace outside Lav, backyard, a bomb site. My brother and I used to walk about in trench coats. All the neighbours thought we were detectives and kept clear, except for the little old lady who lived next door. We spank worse than you could ever imagine. We used to spray her back with deodorant, but it was no good. Her eyes would water and we'd run outside to vomit. If she came in for a cup of sugar, the lino would curl, the wallpaper would peel, and the plaster geese would crash land on the cat. When she died, firemen had to wear breathing apparatus to remove her body. The roof was removed from her house, and the council had to fumigate the street. I once lived in Plumstead, but I don't anymore. It didn't break my heart to leave the place behind, and I don't look back over my shoulder with fond memories of sunset skies over Bannockburn Road, except perhaps for Doreen, who worked shifts at the Atlas Paint Factory, danced part-time in Old Compton Street, and had artistic aspirations of capturing landscapes other than the lampposts and pavements of Lakedale Road. Her affection confused me, but she loved me anyway and once said, "You're the only virgin I've ever known." When once I called Plumstead my home, the end.
So God help us, those teenage years. Huh? Next we have Mary O'Connor.
This is about a poet who is, I owe a lot to, fell in love and then he died, and the beloved I don't think ever knew that he died. So it's called Last Love. Your first experience of Bulgaria, luggage lost, eyes straining to decipher cryptic signs. You tramp the streets in baking midday heat, find a berth at last, cool marbled portal of a large hotel. You sniff out the only ashtray, and there she is, hugging a low-backed chair, curtain of dusky curls, finger extended to tip the ash as she smooths out a magazine. Your shy inquiry brings a sudden smile that lets you catch the wind to sail with her high over Sofia's cobbled streets. The heady days that followed, you hauled in, kept and stored, knowing you had found her far too late. No wish to tie her down. When it was time to leave, you gently slipped the moorings and were gone. You returned, transformed, skin hale and taut, hair slicked back, the wild beard teased and tamed. The love she gave you blazed out from the poems you wrote and wanted her to have. She had no way of knowing that sudden death capsized all your plans, and she is out there, sailing beyond reach. Thank you.
Nice, we're doing a bit of travelling, Plumstead to Bulgaria. I wonder about Patrick Cotter, who's next will take us.
The magician who sawed off her husband was a common sight around town. His head swaying from her hand or cradled in the crook of her arm, the breeze ruffling the waves of his hair as she walked. His eyes closed, face in peace. She would enter a cafe and settle the head in the centre of a table like a vase of carnations or posy of roses. At once the eyes shuddered open, and his mouth would call for a java. With love she held the cup to his guzzling lips. Everyone laughed and tendered applause. For effect, some days a red liquid would trickle from the ragged neck. I dipped my finger in the crimson dripping. It tasted of raspberry coolie. On other occasions, she would attach a limb to a suitcase. If an arm, the hand would reach around to scratch the fine crafted leather. If a leg, it would stretch out to trip someone up. Locals giggled at tourists who fainted or ran around corners with inconsolable screams. Many years passed, and only out-of-towners took any notice, until the day a jackdaw plucked an eyeball straight out of his socket. Well, that's new, the mutterings went. It was November, well past Halloween, with the head reeking like an overripe camembert, and the white cheekbone exposed before she was taken into custody. If only this head could talk, was the prosecutor's quoted headline. Her boyfriend was locked up too.
Oh yeah, we're heading for the midnight hour. Yeah. Next up is Eugene Crowley.
St. Anne's. The law, Irma Smig, Arash, Arish, Treatna Blinta, Go St. Anne's, Na Prishik Tu, Na Bosh Dun, Vion Trit Kene Igma Gurhar, Chemical Warfare, Cus, Ar Cus, Ar Spoid, Sigardine, Gamol, Antahar, Ekor, Ifrin, Doga Tu, Ifrin, Doga Me, Shine.
Thank you, Eugene, for the bit of Asquelia. Ray Hanrahan is next to the mic.
All right, this is called A Longing for Intimacy. A longing for intimacy is written all across my face, but wise does not get laid and still I am lonely. I write poems to communicate, to touch what the hand cannot, yet it does not win me love. What am I doing wrong? It's gone years now on my own. I've forgotten how it feels to be part of something shared other than the joint endeavor of comrades of the idea. Is it selfish of me to reject the many for the particular? To be loved by someone who wants to touch me, arouse me, be my partner in all that matters? If it is, then I must necessarily be selfish and extinguish that longing with the only act that can do so. I must hold out for love, for that someone who wants to share a life together, with intimacy foremost. I have such a longing. Is there someone out there who can quench it?
Thank you, Ray. I have such a longing. Owen Murray is next to the mic. LSD is natural. It is the milk that drives us crazy. The milk that stresses us past the lake that is humanity. And humanity is love of cheese. We build a world within a world. The untamed will either leave it or die in psychiatric wards. Come now, 13th of the 4th, 2013. Let us meditate, 1308, in petrol filling stations.
Christ, there's no men in the state on the drugs. Next is Patricia Walsh.
Now this type of this piece is called Sudoku. It's called The Act of Leaving a Book Unread After Buying It, typically piled up together with other such unread books. Molehills out of mountains, I'd have said. An incongruous pile unattended. Timetable for better bearing. Undiscovered worlds fester in silence. Plan to pay attention, of course. Eventually excavate the rotting accumulation. An inland paradise is good at intentions. Dissecting deception, that's from a slicing page. Take the first step and you will then follow. Miniature universes will take their toll. The uphill climb will come a paradise once you yield to emissive in assisted light. A portable heaven awaits you. Choose your situation, waiting, sleeping. The time is yours, so use it sagely. A ticket to the cosmos is your reward. As high as the orange bonfire it stands. Take one for the pile and it'll reward you. Concentrate day by day, a clutch of riches is yours for the taking, an opus for sold. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. You might bring that one back, and that word might be handy for the 5-word challenge on it. Phillips Phelan.
Hey, I wrote this like in the middle of doing a project, and I asked a very interesting question. How does a fish catch a fisherman? So I tried to answer this random question that popped into my head during in the middle of a college project. Don't trust the fish in the marble transparent lake. I can see you with your fishing pole and an armory of fishing bait. But do you see the dinghy sitting picturesque against the meadow backdrop and bobs pleasantly on the water's edge? That's a fishing heavily in mirage and bait to catch a fisherman. See the leather red seats, its deep varnished wood body, picnic basket placed ideally in between. Inside you can smell the strawberry sugar clear mesh of jam on top of buttercream coating a hock baked scone from here. There's a hamper load in the straw woven basket. I see you sway, your boldly eyes locked. Your conscious mind is so blinkered now. The wind in the willow dinny mesmerizes your eyes dry. I know you want to sit and sleep in the hypnotic craft. The day is hot, your skin is baked, and causes your tongue to become sensitive and dry. So I bet there's a champagne with an escort of bubbles to massage your tongue, skin hidden under the seat. You stumble forward and let out a foot. It dangles above the dinny floor, suspended as you ponder. Then you slump it down heavy. Your foot smashes through the supposed dinghy deck and instead crashes into the sensitive river water body. The dinghy is gone. It was never there. Gone. And you slump and fall into the lake. The waters shadow your form, and wraps you cold. You move all your limbs, but the fishes, they're the masters here. They swoop up in masses. They lock so tightly together, they make a body muscle school. Silver leather skin clutch and grip your foot. You could just feel the wet, cold, soggy skin of a million of fishes. They pull. You sink uncontrollably deeper. Your world left behind. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
Be wary of the fish.
T.P. Sheehan is next.
I wrote this when I was on a retreat in Mayo, looking across Cubase towards Crowpatrick. It remained invisible for the week because of cloud. It's called Holy Mountain. Low-lying cloud hides the Holy Mountain's peak. A veil of mist hides its magnificence. Do you too wear a veil? Tear down that veil, reveal your magnificence to the world, to yourself. Wash the dust from your feet. Put on your dancing shoes. Dance to your life and celebrate your existence.
Yeah, that's the Irish weather for you. That's when you need a cloud. Charles Clark is next to the mic.
Hey!
Rolled in the estuary, war surplus light craft, red sails signalling, put out from the beach for short-term trips only in the light hours of summer. Tides ebbed and flowed, observed by yachtsmen. At the farmhouse taken for a month, ducks swam in the garden stream. In the kitchen, maids were skittish and lobsters crawled towards boiling water. The haggard gleam is spotless in the sunlight shine, and cows, after milking, dumped on the bracken. From the quarry well, the horse drew water. Seals barked in the bay in the early evening. Our English cousins danced in the green hut. Cards were played and royal lamps. Phosphorescence lit the bay at nightfall.
Yeah, I remember that one summer we had here. Yeah. Rosalind Luke.
Thank you very much. For those of you who haven't heard me, I have to introduce a little bit. I'm at the moment I'm working on a book which is supposed to be printed by 1st of September.
Jawohl!
And
September.
I'm still working on it, but they are translations of a German expressionist who fell in 1915 in the war, and I'm going to do the very short ones and one longer one. Cool, nice one. So. This is in his volume of love poetry, which hasn't been translated as much as his war poetry, so a lot of it is unknown, and or not so much known. I'm going to start with a piece I have come
you
to.
You haven't named him yet.
His name is August Stramm, thanks Pat. His name is August Stramm, and I'm celebrating him and his legacy. It's a very interesting condensed style in which he writes. So. Here we go. I'm going to do his honor first and do the German, and then I'll read my translation. Heimlichkeit. Das Horchen spricht. Gluten klammen.
Schauer schielen, Blut seufzt auf. Dein Knie lehnt still, die heißen Ströme brausen heiß zu Meere und unsere Seelen verlauschen ein in sich. Secrecy. The listening speaks. Embers moisten. Shudders speak. Blood sighs up. Your knee leans still. The sizzling streams surge hot to ocean, and our souls swirl into one.
Thank you very, very much. The next one I'm doing is a longer one of his, and it's the last poem in the book. If I wish I had printed out this a little bit bigger because I could put it right there, but I can't. My eyes are getting old. So again, the German version first. It's the closing poem of the volume.
Erinnerung. Welten schweigen aus mir raus. Welten, Welten. Schwarz und fahl und Licht. Licht im Licht. Glühen, flackern, lodern. Weben, schweben, leben. Nahen, schreiten, schreiten. All die weh verklungenen Wünsche. All die hart zerrungenen Tränen, all die barsch verlachten Ängste, all die kalt erstickten Gluten, durch den Siedstrom meines Blutes, durch das Brennen meiner Sehnen, durch die Lohe der Gedanken, stürmen, stürmen, Bogen, Bahnen, Regen, wegen dir, den Weg, den Weg, den Weg zu mir. Dir den Weg, den ich umbrausten, dir den Weg, den du umträumten, dir den Weg, den Flammen zerrissenen, dir den Weg, den unbegangenen, nie gefundenen Weg zu mir. Und recall. Worlds silence forth from me. Worlds, worlds, black and faint and light. Light in the light. Glowing, flashing, flaring. Weaving, breezing, living. Nearing, striding, striding. All the woolly faded wishes. All the sharply quashed down tears. All the harshly taunted fears, all the coldly smothered embers, through the boil stream of my blood, through the burning of my tendons, through the flaring of the thoughts, storming, storming, arching, forging, move and pave for you the way, the way, the way to me. For you the way the iron thundered, for you the way the ewin charmed, for you, the way the flame is severed. For you, the way the never wandered ever found out way to me.
Now, these are examples of poetry that has a heart, I think. And not only in successful emotional or erotic encounters does Schramm manage to actually capture these goosebumps. He also does that when love is unrequited. And this is a posthumous poem which has never been translated before. The other two I didn't have, actually, not all of them in the book. But this one is one of his three posthumous love poems which can be found in his collection of works. Okay, and it's called Unrequited, and I'm going to do the German version again first.
Unerwidert. Die Blicke sengen kahle Male. Dein Nasein fragt und harrt und Mart hat Antwort. Auf meiner Seele klagt dein sehnblutschweres Haupt. Der Mund kraust Hass. Und meine Blicke kichern Höhnen an dir runter. Die Nähe wirkt und nur die Ferne haucht uns beiden Ruhe. Ruhe. Unrequited. Looks sear, bare, scars. Your closeness asks and haunts and harrows answer. On my soul mourns your yearn glow weighed head. The mouth curls hate and my looks snigger tauntily down at you. The closeness chokes, and only distance breathes us to peace. Peace. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rosalind. It's always best to have your passion, your rose helps. Next up is Michael Weber.
Good evening, folks. We're Choke Collective, and we usually do covers.
I like your hat.
Thanks. this time is original. You'll know the title after a while.
Sunset fear, bridge fear, fly fear, cake fear, smoke fear, girl fear, hell fear, fear, home fear, rope fear, chrome fear, mother fear, mother fear, God good fear, whisper fear, dry fear, smoke, snake fear, grass fear, barn fear, mine fear, count fear, cause fear. Grow fear, stop fear, stop!
Words failing. Thanks, guys.
Second last, if we can use that phrase, play Simon.
Someone's already mentioned Croatia. So 3 weeks ago, on the coast in a little town called Šibenik, which is just north of Split, it's like 37, 38 degrees. It's beautifully hot. It's a lovely coastline. I'd like to share something with you. It's called Electric Storm. Light wanes under a waxing moon, cloud shrouded. The coastal islands fade to shadow, their outlines in shades of black. A freighter chugs slowly its running lights, tracing its path. Without warning, The sky lights. A faulty fluorescent starter, pale, all-embracing luminescence, fills the horizon before fading back to black. A faint, distant rumble. Minutes pass before the flash, a jagged fork, strobe light, silent, intra-cloud communication, leaving the ground untouched. Too quick to capture on my phone, I wait on the balcony, prey to biting insects. Coffee, grappa, and a cigarette, the video on, trying to position from lights along the shore to capture the might of this phenomenon. No rhyme nor reason in the firing of the charge from cloud to cloud. The weather remains t-shirt hot throughout the night. No rain, and just the faintest hint of noise somewhere beyond the horizon, as electricity finds its own path to balance. Thank you.
Super Sub Simon, and now to close the open mic section and indeed the night, Shane Vaughan.
As ever, I have a couple of things to say. I'm sorry, I won't keep you long. First, you reminded me, Simon, and as well the guests tonight, about Croatia, and I've got a couple of friends from Croatia, indeed the old Balkan region. If you are ever stuck in the Balkans, and you don't know what's happening or where you are or who you are, even if you're that bad, you find someone who can speak Serbo-Croatian, you say, Jak sam irac, taj mi pivo molim. And it means, I'm Irish, give me a beer, please. The second thing I'll say is, this poem today is inspired, it's one of two poems that are inspired by Paul Casey and the Stanzas Weekend. Now, we did make these wonderful books of Munster literature, because there is Limerick and Cork and American and some French actually as well, but we'll call it Munster literature. They're €10. We have donated some to Avail, if you want to guarantee it, you can buy it tonight for €10 off me. There's 92 pages of poetry, prose, and art inside in this thing. It's handcrafted. I stitched 100 of the fucking things myself, and I want to say thank you to Pat Cotter for the sponsorship. We're absolutely alive. Wonderful. And I guess I'll do the bloody poem, right? So, yeah. This is a first draft, please bear in mind, so it's probably terrible, and it is inspired by Paul. He was doing this amazing stone poetry he's been working on, and it just blew me away. So, anyway, I have no fucking title yet, so. I put my eye in your eye while you were transfixed and staring. Did you feel the steel spoon as it slid inside your socket and gorged a hole big enough to see through? Now I see me as you see me, and I think the blue of my eye pairs well with the green of yours, and that we paint a landscape bereft of a horizon with no end in sight. Thank you.